I'm so pleased to have all these wonderful people here from other places. This is the way to do it. I learned something in that revival over at the Ponceline area.
Yes, sir.
We need to get together.
Yes, sir.
We need to help each other. The devil likes for revival meetings to look like there's nobody coming. And he must be displeased to see you gathering together with your brothers and sisters. And I sure like it very much. And I pray that God will bless you all. Two of the very biggest preachers I ever heard were very small men. Vance Havner and Manuel Scott. Manuel Scott was a black preacher. My, he could preach. Best I recall, he would get up there in the pulpit for a while and he wouldn't say anything. And then I think I understood what that was about, because he talked about coming from California and how much faster they could come when it could get in the wind, get that tailwind.
Yeah.
And he said, for a preacher, you've got to get in the wind.
Right.
Get in the wind of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, you see, I have a lesson tonight that I didn't volunteer to give. I'm not making an excuse for God. But I believe he said, this is where the wind's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher's got to get in the wind. He's not in the wind. You pray for him to get there. Because you're going to be a miserably helpless people at whatever he says. God's Word. I had one of the reasons I don't have to second guess God, but I have a feeling that this lesson is needed.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to talk to you about the value of devotional Bible reading. Now, that sounds like something you should have heard in the junior department, whatever that is, way back down when you were a child. But I had a Sunday school director once, and I'm trying not to be mean or ungenerous. But he was the man in charge of trying to get us to learn the Bible, to read the Bible. And I don't think he was confessing his sin when he said, I read the Bible once every week. I think he was encouraging us to be Bible readers. Well, I don't know about this congregation, but I do believe this about you. This is much of the core of the deepest, most committed Christians in Holmes County. I'm speaking to the saints, and I mean that this time in a little stronger language than just to save people, although that's what a saint is. Somebody got saved. But you're more saintly than most people. But I'm not going to ask any show of hands. But I'm afraid not everybody here reads the Bible devotionally, seriously, every day. Maybe if so, God wouldn't have this lesson. So this is the lesson God has called me, I believe, to give you tonight. And if we can come to the place that from wall to wall, front to back, whichever is front, I don't know exactly in the church, every one of God's children is paying attention to sacred scripture day by day,
yes,
and then showing up when the Lord's Day turns around here and it taught and preached, there will be mighty change in the land.
Yes.
We can't start in Washington.
No.
We might get a little help in helping us see a good example, but they can't solve our problems, because our problems are deeper than $16 trillion, which we can't even imagine how much that is. Our problems are even worse than the fact that we have in places lifted up marriage between two people of the same gender. Our problems are deeper, even, that we are absolutely destroying our own preborn children. There is an amazing falling away from reverence for God and His holy word. And I can't start with those people out there. God's going to start with people like you. As we let Him improve the sense of our own discipleship. I don't know why I've been not led to preach the 14th chapter of Luke here. Maybe it's because I don't have the worthiness to do it, but I hardly have the worthiness to preach on anything. But people, that calls for serious commitment to Jesus Christ. So let's come to God's Word, because you're already praying. I know you're praying about our country and about people around you who are going astray and terribly going astray. I didn't mention enough of our sins, but this sermon is not about that. Let's read, first of all, from 2 Timothy 3. It's hard to know when to start reading in this passage of Scripture. Well, why don't I just start where I've already started? Verse 13. One of our preachers already prayed about the coming of Jesus. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me give you a little bit of something from Revelation chapter 1. He talks about Jesus' revelation, which God gave him, and passed it along through the testimony of his servant, John. And Jesus gives us these precious words. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's the word of God. And I ask you to help me by praying with me. Dear Father, please, Lord, come and make your presence powerfully known. Send a cleansing, a removing of the dross, healing of the wounds from our failures. And because of your grace and mercy, take charge of this, your preacher. And may thy spirit bear witness to the people, even using in some measure this, your servant. Let me not fail you, Father. I pray thy will be done. Minister to the flock here, and through the minister to a growing number of rebellious people departing from the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I understand that some of you listen to God when you're praying. First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga still has a guest, a preacher, who used to be on television. And I watched him some, I think it was after church, on Sunday nights. That's exactly right, Ben Hayden. Believe it or not, I had a wedding with him one time. Makes me very near to being famous. And when I caught him on the radio, I said, this can't be. He's got to be older than I was, because he certainly was when he came down to do that wedding. But he's still holding forth. And he told the people, told us who were listening, that he still prayed a lot. He said, except most of the time I'm listening. That means he's gotten pretty close. When you get ready to listen to God, you about decided you want to do His will. So sometimes we listen to God when we're talking to God. But I'm pretty sure that I have so many needs that I'm trying to get to Him of my own concerns and my family's concerns and the congregation's concerns and so forth. So I probably tend to talk more than I listen. So it's mighty important that I come to Him with the Scriptures. When with the Scriptures, I'm always able to listen to God. Now, I have to tell you, I also talk to Him some when I'm reading the Scripture. You say, well, that's a lot of audacity on your part. Well, you read passages, you just can't escape it. Paul opens up all of his books with a prayer, grace and peace, all of those kind of things, closes with usually some kind of a benediction. And usually when I read grace and peace in the Holy Scripture, I think in terms of the fact that God's Word is alive. He says so. His Word is quick, alive, and powerful. So this is a book that lasts. It didn't just last with Paul. He said to the Philippians, he said to the Ephesians, he said to the Colossians, something that lasts forever. So when I read that, I appropriate that prayer to Bernie Hughes Enzer. And sometimes I pray it for you and other people. Right in the Bible, it's got to be a good prayer. When I look at 3 John, I believe it is, where John said something like this, that he longed for, desired that the brother's prosperity of his soul would be matched with the prosperity of his body. And so I try to pick out a really good Christian when I pray that for them. You wouldn't want me to pray that for somebody that's living like the devil, would you? May your soul prosper like your body is. Or may your body prosper like your soul prospers. That wouldn't be a good prayer. That's a good time to pray for mercy. Always pray for mercy for me just in case. Please. For the glory of God. So sometimes I talk to God when I'm trying to listen to Him. But basically, when I'm reading the Scriptures devotionally, day by day, I try to listen to God. If I'm right, I try to ask Him before I start reading, Father, meet my needs here today. I've been down this road with You before, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, but Lord, I want You to speak to my heart out of these words and feed my soul today. Now, your pastor called me to come be here with you because he wants the Word of God proclaimed. And I believe that's very important. But I also believe He wants you to appropriate to yourself the opportunity to get into the Word yourself. And so I've come to call God's people to Bible reading, done devotionally, with an ear to hearing God speak to them through the Holy Spirit. When we're in touch with God by saying or listening, we're receiving of the true vine. This eternal true vine strengthens and ministers to us and then through us. We can be more than we are as Christ flows Himself and His blessings to others. Daily reading of the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures, memorizing the Scriptures. And it's my call to you tonight to make that a habit of your life. If it's not a part of your life, set a time. Please set a time that you appropriate your life to God and say, Lord, this piece of my time I want to spend listening to You and talking with You. Now remember that rote reading for reading's sake is unnatural and unproductive. We must read reverently with an open mind and with understanding. We can't just go through the words. It's possible to do that. When you think in terms of, look, I've set this time for reading the Bible and I'm in a hurry. I've got to read these words and get done with it, be over with it, and go on, move and lie. I've got to get out of here. That is not getting it. God says, I want you to read 5 chapters. I want you to read 3 chapters. I want you to read 2, whatever He tells you, puts on your heart. And you say, I've got to fly through this. I've got to get it done, and that'll count. I can check it off on my Sunday school record if you do it that way. No, that's not exactly going to make it happen. You might get some out of it anyway. The Holy Spirit might arrest you because His Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you may use it anyway. I wouldn't tell you don't do it, but I would say that's not the best way. Try to get into it with your heart. Devotional reading should be done with reverence for the Lord who gave it. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you may have one like this with that nice India paper that's kind of expensive, and this one is not leather lined, but it's got leather on the outside, and it's red. I don't know what that means, except maybe it indicates the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a very nice Bible. My wife gave it to me, and I'm trying to hang on to it, use it for preaching purposes, and I've got some study Bibles I use otherwise. I hardly ever read this one devotionally. But I'm not talking about giving reverence to ink and India paper, treating the Bible like a relic, like an idol, like an image. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the one who gave the Bible. We call it the Word of God. We really believe that, people. Now, let's don't forget it when we're reading it. God Himself is speaking to us through the book. He took some men and He lifted them above their normal incapacity to do something that was perfectly right. And God breathed the Bible through them and onto the page. It is the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired of God. Inspired means breathed. All of it. Not part of it. Not the whole as the big message of the Bible. That, of course. But also every piece of it. All Scripture is God breathed. He breathed it out, and men that normally would make mistakes were lifted above that. Otherwise, God had to stoop down and get down to the level of humanity to have them write it down for Him. Now, there's a lot to that we're not going to talk about. But this is God's Word. He's talking to us through the Bible. So let us be reverent for the God who gave the Bible the lessons for us. The pen man may have been Peter, James, John. The reader is Buddy, Buford, and Bernie, and so forth and so on. Come to listen to Him and give reverence to Him, whether we're kneeling, whether we're seated. I was blessed to kneel with my wife for many, 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 many years and pray on every night. If you were asleep, I'd come in and still kneel down and pray for her. Well, my back got to hurting so bad, I started sitting in a chair. And I was blessed to get some stuff to take, exercises to take. My back's gotten better, thank the Lord, by His grace. And so I started trying to see if I could kneel again. Now, it doesn't matter whether I'm kneeling or sitting in a chair or standing on my head. I need to be reverent before God. I like praying with my wife that way. But she needs to see the humbleness that her husband has got somehow or another. The big talker and always doing a lot of things wrong, and she sees them. You know something? I'm going to run this by you, by the way. Something very important. She told me one night. She doesn't tell me much. She doesn't talk as much as I do, and I sure appreciate that. But she said to me, I know you're sincere, because when you get on your knees and pray, you tell God how sinful you are. And I know about all of that. Now, that's not exactly how she said it, but it's something like that. I've lived with a prophet. I would like to remind her sometimes that I am the preacher. But I get it sometimes from her. We need to be very reverent before God. You don't have to be kneeling, but when you're reading the Bible, you usually can't kneel very well and read the Bible. Sometimes he has me stand up and do it, because I think he thinks I'm going to go to sleep if I keep sitting down. But however you're doing it, read the Word of God and adjust your hearts to give reverence to the Lord who gave you the Holy Book. And keep remembering, you're listening to God. You can't be very critical of what he's saying because it's God's holy word. Secondly, devotional Bible reading should be done with openness. Here I am. Now, this is where it gets a little dangerous and harder than some of us want to take it. You're reading the Word of God. It's the truth. So you have to decide what you're going to do with it. And so when you read it seriously and with reverence before the Lord, you have to have an openness to it. Since this book is God's Word, we must listen with a willing heart. Listen with a willing heart to God. God promises blessings for Bible reading and Bible listening. That's found right there in Revelation 1 and 3. There is a blessing from the Lord for people who read the Bible. Please remember that. You'll be getting good stuff out of it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells us about the laws of God. Comes back in verse 24 to tell us it's good for you. All of it is good for you. Some people don't know that. They're scared of reading the Bible, afraid to find out something they don't want to know, and they probably will. Sometimes I read it and my conscience hurts me so bad. I'm confessing. Janelle's teacher told me, quit confessing your sins up there in the pulpit. Janelle's teacher, Miss Cletha, died a few months back. Janelle used to sit there and listen to her sing an alto until she learned to sing. You think why I sit here all the time? Because I don't want to sit by Brother Ike. I sit here because I hear these two sweet voices, one alto and one soprano, singing right over my shoulder. I've told some of you this, and I can hear Ike, and you can hear him in the back. I don't have to sit over there by him to hear him sing. He's getting with the program. And I can hear Emily right up here very well, but you've got to sit right in front of those two girls to hear them sing. And it's very sweet. I don't know how I got off on that. Somebody help me know where to go back to the lesson I was giving you. But I try to listen to them. And I listen, hopefully, with a willing heart to the special words of God. Here's some things God does for us to bless us when we read or hear the Word of God. He promises to strengthen us, to bless us, to bear fruit through us. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that this Scripture, this inspired by God, all of it breathed out by God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you get into the Scriptures, listen reverently to the Lord, open up your heart to it, He's going to give you good stuff. Since God promises to perfect us, to equip us, to bless us, and to bear good fruit through us, why then do you suppose we're sometimes afraid to get close to Him? Why is there so much religion rote? People going through motions. Got to go to church. Got to get it done. It'll be over soon. They kick out of church where it will be. They don't come here. Not when I'm here. Man said, my roast is burning. I said, put it in the crock pot next time. It'll be tender. Amen. These folks that come here don't put it on a frying pan and set it on a hot stove. They'll smoke up the kitchen before they get home, at least during revival meetings. I can't speak for Brother Ike, but I got a pretty good idea that he doesn't get in a hurry on Sunday morning. He's got all afternoon for you to rest. Now, in my case, you're supposed to come back and listen again on Sunday night to the preacher. But a lot of people are going through the motions and think that counts. Does not count. We have to be open to God. I suspect some people believe that God's going to change me around if I really get into the Word of God. He'll make me do things I don't want to do. First thing you know, I'll be a missionary in the worst place in Somalia. Or Afghanistan. Probably not. But if He does, He will be with you there.
Yes, sir.
You will be in the wind.
Yes.
You want to be where the wind is. Walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Wherever He is for you, that might be different from where it is with me.
Right.
It's the same place with many things. But where He wants you is where you will be at peace with God.
Yes.
That's rich.
That's
if you go to heaven from there, you're going to go from somewhere.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's going to take you home. God's not going to leave His children down here all the time. He's got first dibs on you. And He is going to take His children home. Some people, I really think, will worship only at a distance because they might get what they consider to be bad news. God might just show me some things that are bad in my life. I want Him to show me what's bad in my life. I was thinking when we were singing that great hymn, those great hymns, I reflected on another hymn that says, even our suffering is to get the dross out, the gold to refine. And I wondered how much of the dross will have to come out of me just as I break through the pearly gates. I sure would like for all of it to go before I get there. And I can't get it out if I'm not looking at what God has told me to find out what life is like and what I must do. I am not to be afraid of the word of the Lord. He promises not only that, but He promises to show us Himself through the Bible. Now, I also want to know God better. I know that I can't know Him in fullness till I get to heaven. God is too big for that. I can't even grasp the amazing greatness of the Almighty God who could create something from nothing that extends so far that the light of some stars takes a million years to get here. And He holds it all together. Scientists have a problem with gravity. What in the, we know it's there, but how in the world does it work? I don't really have a problem with that. I am fully understanding all I need to know about it. In Him, all things consist. He's holding it together. If they discover why and how God makes it happen, I don't know whether that'll do them any good or not, but we've done without that information for thousands of years and survived very well. We can't get a grip on how great God is, but we're going to know more if we read the Bible. Listen very carefully to what God is saying He will show us. Here's the way how He put it. Jesus said, ye search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of Me. The Bible testifies of the Lord. You can find out all you've got to have and need to know for the time being, keeping on reading the Holy Word. He promises also that all Scripture is profitable. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Do you mind if I just shorten that a tad just for emphasis? I know it's all in there. All Scripture is profitable. All of it is profitable. It's good for you. If I were to say, if you read the Bible, you'll get $1 million next week, that would be pretty well worthless to you. You say, oh, worthless to me. If there's something you needed, God would provide it for you. I didn't say, what am I going to do? What if I had $10 million? How long do you reckon I'm going to live? What would I do with it? I ate good today. Something ain't wrong with this suit. I'm afraid this button's going to come off right in the middle of a sermon, so I'm not buttoning my coat up. None of you other preachers are, I don't think. I really don't see but one coat in here. Get your coat off, Paul. Let me be the big dog here tonight. Oh, that's another coat. Oh, I'm in good company. And all of them are blue. God says it's profitable. When God says profitable, He means big time stuff. I might profit you with a $20 bill. God is way bigger than that. He means something that lasts forever and forever and forever. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all Scripture is profitable. Why then are we only interested in the market report? Is anybody interested in that? Or are we only interested in what this debate's going to be like tomorrow night? I plan to miss it. And I'm not too discouraged about it. I don't plan not to pray about it. I've already been praying about it. God's will be done, that His hand will be in that mess. He'll have a lot to do with how that thing turns out. I am praying for it, but I can live without seeing it. Because the Word of God will be presented here, God willing, tomorrow night. The Word of God is profitable.
Yes.
Take the Bible for a few minutes daily. Open it and open your heart and your mind to the Holy Spirit to bring you Himself as your comforter, guide, teacher. Lord, be with me. Search intently for truth. Lord, be with me, and Lord, speak to me. Much you hear and read and see, you believe, but all that you hear and read and see is not the truth.
That's right.
We're trying to factor out where the truth really is. When you read the Bible, you're safe.
Yes. Amen.
It's all truth, and it's truth. Now listen to a big, important, very, very educated doctor. I don't mean medical doctor. I mean PhD, teacher somewhere, professor somewhere out in Colorado, I believe it was. And that man, a very erudite man, asked a question, and a lot of the people in there were preachers. I hate to tell you this. I started not to tell you that a lot of them were preachers. And he said to that crowd of people in that big room, is there such a thing as absolute truth? Now, I don't know what they thought. He's going to pin me down and make me give an answer. But the hands were few that went up. Guess what? That guy that I don't know if he was a Christian or not. Pardon that mistake of grammar, Carol. School teachers, some of you didn't notice it. Why did I bother saying? I don't know if he were a Christian or not. But he said to that bunch of heathen, oh me, that bunch of people, godly people maybe, who just absolutely missed it. Yes, there is such a thing as absolute truth. Anything God says is absolute truth. There is absolute truth. There are things that are true and have been true and always will be true. For example, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all our sins. Jesus said, I will come again. He will come again. I go and prepare a place for you. Absolute truth, wholly dependable, is the Word of God. Let us read the Word of God. You find the preacher that's preaching it. Listen to him. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And the strange thing of all things, he's talking to the truth himself. He's talking to him who helped in the world of giving us the Holy Bible,
right,
who's going to give His life for our sins. And He asked the one man who could not miss it, what is truth, and just walked away as if he didn't want the answer.
Yeah, right.
The truth is found in God's Word, and the truth is found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And truth is help to the life. The truth will make you free.
Yes, it will.
We may have messed up part or have been misinformed and need to be reprogrammed in our lives. God, through His Word, can do it.
Amen.
It takes time for some people. They've been scrambled up so long and so bad until their lives are really a wreck. But they got to get started somewhere, getting life back into the right track and the right frame of mind, and allowing God to rebuild the truth in their hearts. The truth will set you free. My mama was the best person I knew until I met Janelle. My mama wasn't perfect. My, she was fine. Way better than I deserved. Now look at my history and my past. I said to a young lady Saturday, she's dating somebody that drinks some. Her daddy's a preacher. Her mama's a saintly woman. Her grandparents, all of them were godly people. And she doesn't seem to see anything big bad about it. I said, but you didn't grow up where I did. You see, you missed all of the pain and misery of all of that alcohol in the family. I didn't have much time to explain that to her. But I had a godly mother who wouldn't touch a drop of that stuff. I watched her be sober all the years of her life that I was able to know her from the time I could recognize my mama in her early 20s. But she was not perfect. Sure was good to me. Because she worried a lot. Well, you say, well, she grew up during the Depression. 7 members of the family didn't have a piece of ground of their own. 7 members of the children, 7 children. Man couldn't read, or daddy couldn't read. Making a living sharecropping, making a living at the sawmill. You can't get rich doing that, people. You can hardly keep the gristmill running for you in that way. And her daddy was a bad man to drink. And she married a man who would drink. And I said, my mama worried a lot. Well, if you could read the Bible, even my mama, and she did, we'll find in the Bible things like, be careful for nothing. Now, that doesn't mean, don't watch your step when you're going down the stairs. Be careful. Careful. Put another way, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when I'm quoting scripture, I know I've got a man that knows exactly the words. So I'm a little uncomfortable doing it. I'm intimidated by this man. I'm not kidding. My mama was not perfect. But she had a Bible. You can read the Holy Word of God. So read it with an openness to truth. It'll do you good. It will not mess you up. Please get close to God and let Him tell you whatever He wants to tell you. Finally. Now, I told you this morning, finally doesn't mean much. But it means something. It means what I've already said is past. Not as much left as there used to be. But there's a third point to this. Devotional reading with understanding. So when we have this book of God, it is His Word. Let us pay attention to it. Now, I want to confess another sin. Maybe it's not. Is it a sin? I'll just tell you what I want to confess. I struggle sometimes. It's in me to believe that I should get up and start my life, my day, with the Bible. You may end your day with the Bible. You may take your lunch break and read the Bible. I'm not telling you how to start the day with it. I'm just telling you, that's been in me for a long, long time. I believe that's right for me. And you probably need to know that you should have a time that you reserve for God to read His Word. Sometime or another. It's right. It's helpful. You need it.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be hungry. Sick. You're going to need vitamin Bible. Vitamin B-I-B-L-N-E. Great need for your life. Set a time for it. But even so, my wife is not present. I mean, she's either sleeping or she's in the kitchen. She's not in there with me. She knows that's not a time to come in there unless she gets a call of something. I got to respond to it. TV's not on. Radio's not on. The children are not bothering me. But it's not just me and God in there. So I'm going to try to blame this on the devil. But sometimes my mind wanders right away from the Scripture. And I've gone from verse 7 to verse 8, and then I've gone to verse 12, and I didn't read a thing in there that I'm in. That's a confession. I've about decided that those 4 verses or whatever it was that I missed were the ones the enemy wanted me to miss. So I go back and read them again.
Amen.
Try to pay real attention. Because this might just be what God had for me that day that I missed totally. He sees, God sees my thoughts, and He knows when I've read a paragraph of the Bible
and one listening to him. Gentlemen, you do that sometimes with your wife, that's pretty bad. But not so bad as this. Oh, Paul is under conviction. I'm so old, I call all these preachers by their first name. Y'all got to forgive me for that. I respect them now. I'm just one of them. I'm under conviction, too. That's one thing, but not listening to God is another thing. He wants us to hear Him because He loves us so much. And we're frail. And then we got mental attitudes that get in there. The very things sometimes that drive us to pray, drive us to the Bible, causes us to slip away from it. Worries. The reason I need to read the Bible is to find out truth for my worries. And yet I start worrying while I'm reading the Bible that would give me some answers. Love of riches. So a vigil is always necessary. What's that verse about the roaring lion? He's seeking somebody he can devour all the time. Stay the course. Read on anyway. I will give you the reality that you can miss a few things, but keep on anyway. Go back 3 verses. Read it again. God will speak to your heart. Ask the Lord for insight. You say, I read some of it, I can't understand it. Let me explain that I know that not everybody can read very well. It just didn't come naturally for them. Under how much is given, much will be required. So maybe Brother Ike can read 5 chapters and it's easy for him to do that. Maybe you can't read but one. It's just a struggle to get through one. I understand that can be the case. The Bible is a God book. It's got more in it than you and I will grasp till we get to heaven. So you may have to work with it anyway, regardless. Our Sunday school teacher this morning, I'm glad she did not start as I show am. I'm trying to lift my level of grammar in front of all these preachers. But I'm certainly happy that Sister Margaret didn't stop on what I think was verse 17 and ask me to explain it. She didn't know what it meant. Her commentary didn't know what it meant. And she was gracious enough not to ask me what it meant. I probably would have talked some, but I'd have sounded like a politician. When I should have said, I don't know. Some of it is very difficult. So sometimes you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Sometimes you will find the light right there. Not have to go any further. Sometimes you'll have to ask a fellow Christian. I was a little embarrassed recently. I had 4 or 5 preachers around me, and I read them a passage of Scripture. I said, what does that mean? Seemed like everyone of them knew but me. So you get light. Ask your pastor. Keep coming to church, and sometimes you'll get it if you wait long enough until he gets around to it. Lord, if there's insight for me now that I need now, Lord, please give it to me now. Because I'm willing to obey and get the change in my life if I can only understand your word. Now, it's not right to quit reading the Bible because you don't understand some of it. You will be amazed if you'll keep reading it and you think you're not understanding it at what tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and 3 weeks from now you'll find, hey, I got that. Something for my life that I really needed or needed to care. You don't need to quit reading it because maybe you get a little bored reading it. Please don't quit listening to sermons because you get a little bored sometimes. I appeal to you to commit yourself to a regular, daily Bible reading time. Decide what you're going to do about it and do it with the help of God. Scripture says, give attention to reading. Paul said, bring the books. And especially the parchments. And remember our opening text. It's a good idea to read the Bible for long-time help. Something you might need way out yonder. It's a good time to read the Bible for something you need right now. I've been reading the ancient book of God sometimes and find something that doesn't seem to be exactly
related to me, and lo and behold, it's the answer to my dilemma. I could tell you a story or two about that, but I realize it's time for me to be in the short rows here and wrap this up. Your immediate steps will be ordered by the Lord if you read the Bible, as well as your distant steps. It will come out there one day when you need it so desperately. Because the Word of God is a life changer and an improver. It's a reprogrammer of your life. Life impressions that are false need Holy Scripture and the Holy Spirit to be removed, cleansed, healed, and changed. Forsake not the assemblings of yourselves together, the Bible says. For you hear, of course, the Word of the Lord. You hear it here. I don't know that you can hear it much everywhere, but you can hear it here. It's a profound, wonderful thing to go to a church where the Bible is the textbook.
Right.
And even the hymns they sing are built on the Scripture.
Amen.
To your preacher, it's nurture for the soul, like food for the body, and he's grasped it. I don't know if it's too late to run this in the sermon, but some of you don't know that Brother Ike went to seminary. He went to seminary. I don't remember who all of his professors were. I was one of them. I'm going to try that button one more time. We had seminary extension right here in Bonifay, Florida. If I told you that he missed a few classes, would you believe me? You say, oh, he had all that work to do. No, he did have all that work to do, but sometimes he was in Tallahassee, had his wife and little young'uns all over there listening to the Bible preaching instead of me. Boy, if there's a big preacher coming in somewhere within 100 miles, he was over there. Is that true, Carol? Am I telling the truth? Carol, do you know what grades he made in seminary? I know I was gracious and merciful. But he went to seminary. But the biggest school he went to was the school of an open Bible. He had a thirst for what was in there like a sponge to water. He soaked it up day after day after day after day after year after year after decade. Two of the most knowledgeable Bible preachers I know would be Brother Ike Stevenson and a friend I hope is here tomorrow night, Brother Albert Smith. They have learned the Scriptures. They can quote the Bible. They know what it means. And they know how to live by it. And they know how to share it. But they've had a path of searching the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. And may God bless you who have such a pastor and such a preacher of the Holy Word of God and give you the wisdom to take after his plan and to get into the good book. And may your children remember you. I go apart to read the Bible and to pray, but I sure do hope that it lingers in my children's mind when my body is lying in front of the church or somewhere, if the rapture doesn't come first. Daddy always got into the Bible every day. He read the Scriptures. May your children remember you as one who believed the Bible, read the Bible, and lived the message of the Bible. Let's listen to the last few words of this message with your eyes closed, please, as you meditate and pray about your own condition. Most of you are Christians. These last words are for those who may not be saved yet or are not sure of it. Before you can devotionally read the Bible for spiritual growth, you have to be made spiritually alive. The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sins, locked out of the light of great spiritual truth. But you can be made alive, born again, this time from above. The Bible tells you how in Acts 16, 30 and 31, the man asked a simple question, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That man fled from his sins to Jesus. the man who had put them in jail, locked them up, put his faith in Jesus Christ, and was changed. The stripes that somebody put on him, on Paul and Silas, he washed. Beaten by the authorities, locked up by this jailer. Now Paul baptized him in Jesus' name with Jesus' love. The truth will set you free. Come to the Savior now. Give him your heart. Ask him to forgive. Ask him to get you to heaven when you die. Follow him into the baptismal waters, confessing your faith and announcing your commitment, depending on the good word of Jesus from the cross. You're in great shape here tonight, even if you're lost. Oh, preacher, what in the world do you mean? I mean, Jesus is the door of your heart if you're not saved. If you're saved, he's in your heart. If you're lost, he's at the door of your heart. He didn't bring us here to preach this week without himself coming to keep his word, to save sinners who give up their sins and come to Jesus. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.